Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode of Books and Boba was brought to you by Libro FM. Libro FM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Choose from over 150,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With Libro FM, you'll be getting the same audiobooks at the same price as some of the bigger audiobook sellers, while also supporting your favorite local bookstore. If you enjoy books like me but find it hard to find time to read, audiobooks are the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. You can listen to them while doing chores, driving around, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro FM app available on iOS and Android. Listeners of Books and Boba can get a 3-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month. Just go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter the code BooksandBoba. Again, get a 3-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month by going to Libro.fm and entering the code Books and Boba. And now the show.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome back to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And my name is Rira Yu.
And we are here on week 3 of Asian American Heritage Month. And week 3 of Books and Boba's inaugural Asian Books Challenge. Rira, how are you doing? How are you surviving?
I'm surviving on coffee. It's been a very busy week. And then next week is even busier. As fun as it's been with like the books challenge and just like following all of the Asian American author events that have been happening online, I'm tired. So I can't wait until June happens.
Yeah, not to be like a broken record about this, but it's been extra tiring this month, I think, because of all the virtual events. And I definitely feel like I am screen fatigued. As much as I was on screens already, it's been at least double this last few months.
Yeah, definitely.
I just need to like unplug for all of June, which is not possible because we still need to, you know, work and do stuff. But oh man, it's times like these where I'm glad I got a Paperwhite Kindle and not one of those like LCD ones, you know?
Okay, well, I have one of those LCD ones. I do have the first. No, it's not the first one. Maybe it's like the third model of the Kindle. It's not paper white. It's still like grayscale. Mm. It was actually like the first. Like it was actually a birthday present that I got from Dan for the first time. And then on a different birthday, my friend also bought me a Kindle, and it was like the Kindle Fire. So I was like, okay, well, like I guess people give me Kindles for my birthday, and I just, you know, I don't get to pick which one comes in. So
hey, yeah, you got a brand. People know what you want.
That's true. I have a very, very clear brand.
Well, we're here this week to talk about the book news of May 2020. Despite it being a slow period for the economy, there were quite a few book deals that came out during this time. I guess with more people stuck at home, there is more people writing. That's my theory. I don't know.
Well, you know how publishing works. Like it says like books are going to come out in 2021, 2022. But these deals were like these books were probably written like maybe a year before, back in like 2019, 2018. So, like, publishing is always on a weird, like, 2 to 3 year schedule.
We'll also be recapping week 3 of Asian Books Challenge, so stick around for that. But, Rira, let's just get into it. Why don't you start us off with our first story?
All right. So, in a 6-figure auction, Simon Pulse bought MIT student and her campus 22 under 22 honoree Rona Wang's debut novel, You Had Me at Hello World. The YA rom-com follows a Chinese-American teen who is invited to a weekend-long coding competition at MIT, where she teams up with a cute tech industry prodigy to work on an app to help immigrants connect and put down roots. Publication is slated for spring 2022.
Yes, the summer camp rom-com.
I really like the title. You have me at Hello World.
Yeah. Did you ever program a Hello World app?
Wait, there's a Hello World app? I thought it was like a reference to the romantic line, you had me at hello.
Oh yeah, but Hello World is a basically it's the first thing you ever learn in computer programming. It's a one-line program that just has the compiler return Hello World on the screen.
Yeah, no. I that just flew over my head. Nope.
It's lesson one of any computer programming class you take in high school or in
I have not taken a single programming class. So
I took a C++ class in high school. That was fun.
The only coding I know is from like Zynga.
Our next story: Berkeley acquired Jesse Q Sutanto's Dial A for Aunties, pitched as Crazy Rich Asians meets Weekend at Bernie's. The book follows a young wedding photographer who, along with her mother's and aunt's, tries to hide the body of her blind date while working the wedding day of a wealthy client. Publication is tentatively set for April 2021. This is intriguing to me.
Yeah. Do you think, like, okay, so hypothetically, if you killed someone, do you think your family would help you cover it up?
I think they would.
They would?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like for this book, there's no murder that happened. It just happens that her blind date like dropped dead or something. It's like, oh god.
Well, you know how it goes. Something happens and then your mom and your aunties get really paranoid and force you to do things that you don't really want to do, but you know, they insist. We've all been there.
Next up, HarperCollins, Balzer and Bray bought The Legacies and another YA novel by Stonewall Honor author Abdi Nazemian. The Legacy follows 5 wildly different teens who confront their boarding school's culture of abuse while facing their own demons in an exclusive writing class. Publication is planned for spring 2021. So Abdi Nazemian is the author of The Authentics, and I've heard wonderful reviews about that book. So I'm guessing that this book will also be pretty great to read. I love books. I love books that are set in boarding school. Maybe it's because like there's just like this romantic notion to it, because it's like college for like high school students, because you're like away from your parents, and it's like and it's just like a question of how would you act without like your parents about when you're that young?
That's true. When you're only parental figure is like your Robin Williams character from not Stand and Deliver. What's that movie? The one with the Dead Poet Society. Oh, our next story is Harper Alley acquired world rights to Friendbots by former Google product designer Vicky Fang, who is also the author of the Layla and the Bots series. The STEM-inspired early graphic novel series is about friendship and robots. Publication of both books is set for spring 2021. It's never too early to get the kids started in STEM.
Yeah, and through graphic novels, it seems. That's really nice. We have been seeing an influx of graphic novels and memoirs for younger kids, and also novels about like science. I mean, the next generation is like they have the daunting task of trying to save this planet. So gotta start early, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, we have HarperCollins acquired world rights to Playing at the Border, a story of Yo-Yo Ma by Joanna Ho. Illustrated by Teresa Martinez, the picture book centers cellist Yo-Yo Ma using his music to build bridges instead of walls, a testament to music, humanity, and what unites us. Publication is set for fall 2021.
No, Yo-Yo Ma is probably the first person I ever saw, like, on TV as an Asian person. You know, like, he's like one of those first, like, public figures, you know? Like,
wow, that's like really, like, that's really unexpected.
I mean, back in the day, like, there weren't that many on TV. It was like Connie Chung, Michael Chang, and Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah. Since my family, like half of my mom's side of the family are musicians, are classical musicians. Like, I've heard of Yo-Yo Ma, but, like, to me, it was like, oh, there's so many Asian classical musicians. So, like, I didn't really see the big deal around Yo-Yo Ma until, like, much later when I got into, you know, the Asian American community and, you know, heard about, like, the impact of Yo-Yo Ma's work. So,
yeah,
picture book. That's great. Yeah.
Little Brown Poppy acquired North American rights to Mariko Turk's debut YA novel, The Other Side of Perfect. The story features a 16-year-old ballerina whose life-changing injury thrusts her back into the halls of a normal high school. As she navigates a world without her passion, she discovers friendship and romance and finally confronts the discrimination in the dance industry that she tried hard to ignore. Publication is scheduled for summer 2021.
Yo, I love ballet books.
Especially ballet drama.
I love ballet dramas. I love ballet movies. I don't think there's a single, like, movie or show that is about ballet that I have not seen. And I say that with confidence. I had friends who were in ballet companies when they were, like, you know, when they were children. So it's really, really intense. Like, I don't know how they did it while they were still enrolled in public school.
Yeah. But, and it's an industry and community, I guess, audience that is notoriously, if not actively hostile, like passively hostile to people of color. Right. So I think it's cool that this book is addressing those issues.
Yeah. Next up, HarperCollins bought debut author Vanessa Lenz's Monsters trilogy, which is set in London. When the boy she loves turns out to be a legendary monster slayer, teen half-monster Joan must embrace her own monstrousness to stop him from killing everyone she cares about. The first installment, Only a Monster, will publish in fall 2021.
So what is this genre? Like, it's not enemies to lovers because they're already... Yeah, it's a more of a Romeo and Juliet thing, right? Where they're, like, on opposite sides of, like, a war.
I guess so.
Like, yeah, what is this trope?
What is this? Rivals to lovers?
But they're already lovers, though.
That's true. It's like, lover turns out to have secret identity and...
Wants to kill everyone you love.
Wants to kill everyone you love, but... It's complicated. Like, this reminds me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Because, for like the first couple of seasons, Buffy's love interest is a vampire.
Right, and, Angel, right?
Yeah, Angel. So you have, like, that going on.
Well, and then it becomes Spike, who is also a vampire.
Yeah.
Buffy was great.
Buffy was a great show, but it's definitely a product of its time. Because if you go back and watch it now, there are some, like, there are some representations on like women that I am, that kind of is old.
A Joss Whedon property has problematic representation of women.
I know, but that was his best one though. Like, I guess it's not just him because it's a television show. So that's probably why it stood the test of time so far. But we'll see in a couple of years, see if it stands for longer.
Well, this story sounds great, and I'm excited to hear more about it from people who read it, or if I read it, who knows. Next up, Razor Bill has acquired Sylvia Liu's debut middle grade novel, Hannah Sue and the Ghost Crab Nation. A 12-year-old girl must save her classmates from a corporate plot that threatens their ability to connect to the Wonky Web through neural implants, only to discover that her scientist mother may also be involved in the conspiracy. Publication is planned for summer 2022. Yo, this is like middle grade cyberpunk.
Yeah, I know, middle grade cyberpunk thriller. That sounds like a really fun genre, yeah, to be honest. Yeah.
You know, you got to start these kids young, expose them to STEM, expose them to, you know, cyberpunk concepts of like augmented reality and virtual reality and also corporate greed. So
I was about to say, like, we need to expose children to corporate greed and how capitalism is bad. And
I mean, if you think about it, the corporate dystopia that we see often portrayed in cyberpunk stories is going to be their reality when they grow up, you know, in like 20, 30 years.
Yep. On that depressive note, next up, Simon & Schuster bought Of Blood and Briars, a queer YA fantasy by Rebecca Kim Wells. Cursed to kill all those she touches, Lena endures an isolated life on the run from her fellow humans. But when an enigmatic stranger offers to help her break the curse in exchange for her aid in assassinating a princess hidden in an enchanted forest, Lena embarks on a quest to win her freedom, no matter the cost. Publication is slated for fall 2021. Curse to kill all those she touches. So it's like kind of like Midas's touch, but only with death.
Yes, exactly like that. The death touch. This sounds pretty cool. Not to predict the plot, but she probably falls in love with the princess, right? Is this where we're going?
Yeah, I mean,
there's like a murder queer love triangle.
YA fantasy. Yeah. Murder triangle, murder love triangle. Yeah. Sounds great.
HarperCollins acquired One Wish by M.O. Yuxel, a picture book biography about Fatima al-Firi, the 9th century Muslim woman who pioneered the world's oldest university, which is still operating today. Miriam Qureshi will illustrate. Publication is set for winter 2022.
I love picture book biographies, by the way.
It's cool to see more picture books about subjects we're not exposed to regularly, right?
Yeah, and there's like women don't really show up in ancient history or like much older history. Historical tales are always kind of erased from history, and their accomplishments are usually stolen by men. So it's really nice that there is a picture book on a remarkable woman of color and who is also Muslim. So that's great.
Yeah.
Next up, Scholastic bought world rights to educator and STEAM expert Rekha S. Rajun's Amazing Landmarks, an illustrated compendium of 10 iconic global landmarks with interactive stories that prompt readers to understand how and why each was built and explore the unique challenges faced in design and construction. Alex Asfor, graphic artist and founder of IdeaStorm Studios, will illustrate. Wow. And there is no publication date that is mentioned here.
So like a civil engineering visual guy. Do you remember those books back in, I don't know. So I might be, this might be before your time because I am at least half a decade older than you. But there was like the series of picture books by Scholastic. Each of them would be about like a different subject, like castles or knights or, I don't know, dinosaurs or whatever. Do you remember those? Did you?
No, I don't. I don't. I feel so bad because I'm making you feel so old.
Well, this reminds me of those. Like, kind of, you just, you know, go through, look at the pretty pictures, and also learn about, you know, civil engineering, which is cool. I have a lot of friends who are civil engineers, so I think it's cool to have people. You know, architects get all the praise for like designing cool buildings, but it's really the civil engineers that make sure that those buildings don't fall down and kill people.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up, Candlewick bought world rights to Suma Subramaniam's debut picture book, Namaste is a Greeting, an exploration of namaste through everyday observation and simple actions to honor the divine within all people. Sanya Prabhat will illustrate. Publication is set for fall 2022. I feel like namaste is like one of those words like aloha, which has been like appropriated to like oblivion in like mainstream pop culture.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. It's like, I mean, like yoga is now like, I feel like people who do yoga now, like they forget that it used, like it's from India and it's not just like invented by like white people here. There's so many yoga studios in Pasadena, y'all, and they're all run by white people. So
yeah.
Yeah. HarperCollins acquired world rights to Rise Up and Write It, written by Nandini Ahuja and illustrated by Anusha Syed, an interactive storybook about a young activist determined to build a new community garden for her neighborhood that is both a celebration of civic engagement and a reminder that anyone can make a difference. Publication is slated for winter 2021.
Damn, all these books teaching our young people to be better than us.
I mean, that's the point of picture books, right? Grow up to be a good person.
I know.
Before the world corrupts you.
Learn from our mistakes. Yeah, next up, Knopf has bought Elizabeth Lim's YA fantasy duology, Six Crimson Cranes, a reimagining of the Wild Swans fairy tale, and the third untitled work. Set in the same world as Spin the Dawn, Six Crimson Cranes centers on an exiled princess who must unweave the curse that turned her brothers into cranes. Assisted by her spurned betrothed, a mercurial dragon, and a paper bird brought to life by her own magic, publication of the first book is scheduled for summer 2021.
So the Wild Swans fairy tale. That's a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale.
That's the Swan Princess, right?
No, that's different. There are several fairy tales that have swans in it.
Well, I love that they did a twist here where it's the boys that became the birds and not the princess.
Yeah. From what I remember of the fairy tale, in order for her to return her brothers into human form, she has to make this net out of nettle, and she's not allowed to speak. And a prince finds her, and pretty much everyone in the town is like, why is she so weird? Why is she not talking? Why is she making this net like a witch, pretty much? And what happens is she tosses the net, and her brothers turn back into humans, except for one of them whose arm didn't make it into the net. So he kind of has one arm that's a wing, which is pretty cool. But that is all I remember about this fairy tale. I don't really remember the morals of the story.
I mean, so that I'm seems really like a curious. Pretty comprehensive summary of the plot. So you remember quite a bit.
I remember fairy tales pretty well. It's because I read them so many times as a kid. I actually have a full edition of Grimm's fairy tales, and I think I have a copy of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales in my bookshelf somewhere.
Somewhere. OG text where it's all creepy and
it's violent. The original tales. Yeah.
Nice.
HarperCollins Teagan bought Katrina Moore and Zoe C's Teeny Houdini series. Pitched as Junie B. Jones meets Dory Fantasgamori, the chapter books follow Bessie Lee, the teeniest girl in her first grade class, and the disaster that follows when her magic tricks go awry. The first two books are scheduled for winter 2022.
Now, I know it's not my area of expertise or even age, but Junie B. Jones and Dory Fantasmagory, do those mean anything to you?
No, it does not. it's been a very long time since, I read chapter books, even for other kids. So I'm pretty curious to how this book is going to be.
Yeah.
I was never the smallest girl in my class. I think I was pretty average, and then everybody got their growth spurt super late, and then I ended up in the bottom tier, and then I went to college and I grew 3 inches, so now I'm a little bit taller than other Asian girls. And
yeah,
and,
I've
and
never
you're really
had
tall.
I've never had that experience. I was always, if not the tallest, one of the tallest kids in my class, and I've been 6 feet tall since freshman year of high school. So I do not relate, but I do empathize with.
How is the air up there?
It's great. Tons of stuff to run into. This world is not built for tall people.
Well, you can see over people's heads when you go to concerts.
It's true. Well, not anymore. Everyone has their phones up. Now there's all these phones in my way. Technology has ruined our concert going experience. And finally, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt acquired Jeff Yang, Angry Asian Man Phil Yu's, and Wong Fu Productions' Philip Wang's nonfiction title, Rise, Asian America from the 1990s to Now. The book is described to be a visual history of how generations of Asian Americans powered through stereotypes and mainstream exclusion to push their community into the spotlight and make their culture irresistibly cool. So this is a book written by our friends, which is pretty cool. Angry Asian Man. And Jeff Yang are both fellow potluck podcasters. They have a podcast called They Call Us Bruce on our potluck network. And Phil Wang, of course, is one of the founders of Wong Fu Productions, one of the original Asian American content creators on the internet. We actually went to college together. Like, we weren't friends back then, but we were at UCSD at the same time, which is really cool.
So you pretty much like were there for the lip sync videos, which were like the early Wong Fu works.
I remember sharing those on our college FTP drives because, yeah, this was like 3 or 4 years before YouTube even came out. So the only way to share videos is to download them off of like FTP drives. So we all had the link to Phil's FTP, and then we were sharing that link to our friends in other colleges, and that's how the whole thing spread. So, like, back in the day, viral videos weren't just, like, share a link. Like, you had to share a link, download it, and then play it on your computer.
Yeah, it's crazy that it was before YouTube, because YouTube became, like, mainstream in 2008. So, it...
Yeah.
I think it's also when a lot of Asian American YouTubers came into prominence. So you have like David Choi and AJ Raphael. I think that's when they started posting their music. And there was just like this renaissance of like Asian American musicians and also filmmakers who were posting their work.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I'm sure like Jeff Phil's and Philip Wang's book will cover all of that.
Well, congrats to them on their book deal. I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with.
And probably have them on our show once it comes out.
I know. Finally, our worlds intersect. And with that, that'll do it for our book news roundup for May 2020. That was a lot of stories. We went through like that was like almost half an hour of book deals.
You say it's a half an hour of book deals, but we don't know how long it's going to be once it's edited down.
Yeah, cut out all of our false starts and all the flubs that you will never hear.
Yes, this is an edited show. Sorry to break your illusion.
Yeah.
That this show is just like unedited.
Reba and I are actually terrible live readers, so there's a lot of editing to go around. But yeah, let's wrap up this episode with our week 3 recap of Asian Books Challenge. For those of you following along, we are now at day 15 for our recap. As of recording, we are on day 22. So let's get through it. Day 15, Central Asian main character.
This one was obviously the hardest one in our books challenge. Unfortunately, yeah. A lot of Central Asian authors are, you know, their works are not translated into English. They are translated into Russian, but Central Asia, mostly, like, because of censorship, they, like, a lot of those books don't come our way. And a lot of American authors don't really feature Central Asian characters. So I really wanted to, like, show people's blind spots for this challenge.
Yeah, and this area is definitely a blind spot for me. I actually watch more Central Asian movies than I do read books from that region. But I think, so what I did here was go with, I cheated and just picked what Rira picked.
I have my own picks. I actually recommended 3 books. It was very, very hard. So what was the book that you stole from my recommendations?
I took the one that you put up on the official Books and Boba profile. So The Dead Lake by Hamid Ismailov, about a boy who jumps into a radioactive lake to impress a girl and becomes growth stunted for the rest of his life. I haven't read it yet, but it sounds dramatic. I was about to say depressing, but I actually don't know if it's depressing or not. But Central Asia is one of those places that is constantly either being oppressed culturally or being oppressed economically and at the whims of the larger powers around them. So I think stories that explore that relationship is really important for us to understand the impacts of like cultural imperialism on developing countries.
Yeah, definitely. So the first book that I picked for this prompt was Half a World Away by Cynthia Kodohada. It's about a troubled Romanian adoptee boy who travels to Kazakhstan with his family when they're about to adopt his new baby sibling. And it kind of explores like what it means to be an adoptee and feel like you've been caught up from your roots. And pretty much like the protagonist feels like his parents are adopting a new baby because he's not enough. So it kind of explores that theme. And Cynthia Kodohada is a Japanese-American author, but she adopted her son from Kazakhstan. And I actually learned this quite a while ago. I learned that there's a lot of Korean people in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan because what happened was there were a lot of Koreans who were living in Russia way before World War One. Way before the division of Korea. And once Stalin came to power and the Japanese were colonizing Asian countries, Stalin was like, oh, we can't trust the Goryeo Saram, the Korean people who are living in our country. So he exiled, he deported over 100,000 Korean people. And they ended up in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, and they were welcome there, even though they struggled a lot in their early years.
Yeah.
So I really want to read books by that diaspora, but again, like they're not translated into English. Most of them are in Russian. And the other book that I recommended was The Tale of AP by A.K. Walsapar. He's a Turkmenistan author, and his book is about fishermen who live in this small town in Turkmenistan, and they're at the brink of losing their ancestral home to the Soviets. So, yeah, obviously I have not read it, but it is a book that I wish it was translated into English so that I can read it. Or maybe it is translated into English. I'm not sure. Anyway, moving on to day 16. Day 16's prompt was mixed race Asian main character. Marvin, what did you pick?
I picked Rachel Khan's Goodbye Vitamin, which is a book that we read for book club. God, like a couple years ago now, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, about a young woman named Ruth who comes home to take care of her father who has the early stages of Alzheimer's disease and basically moves home in her, I want to say like late 20s or 30s to kind of start over. And the character herself is half Asian. I think her father is white. Her mother is Chinese, which is interesting because she's being played by Constance Wu in the movie adaptation.
In the adaptation. I totally forgot that book is getting adapted.
Yeah. But I really liked it because I think as like one of those older millennials who had to move home after like independent life didn't really pan out on the East Coast. It really like a lot of the things she goes through, like coming home and kind of seeing how everything has changed, even though everything is the same. It really invoked feelings in me. So definitely recommend this book. It's also a really fun, book. It's pretty short. It's written in an interesting way, which for some people might be a turnoff, but I think it pulls it off really well. It's very stylish.
Yeah. I picked Starfish by Akemi Don Bowman. This is the book I have not read. Trigger warnings, anxiety, emotional abuse, childhood sexual abuse, and suicide attempt. You can see why I have not read this book yet. I have to like mentally prepare for it. It's a story that follows Kiko, who is a mixed race Japanese teen. Her mother is white. Her father is Japanese. And she grapples with social anxiety and self-loathing. And when she gets rejected by her dream art school, it just so happens that her abusive uncle moves in with the family at the same time. So she accepts this road trip with her best friend to tour colleges in the West Coast. And it pretty much like explores how she copes with her anxiety. I have heard wonderful things about this book. So I do plan to read it at some point. I just have to mentally prepare myself for it.
Day 17, Asian retelling of a fairy tale, myth, or classic. Rebra, what did you pick?
I picked Christina Sundtornvat's A Wish in the Dark. We had Christina not that long ago. Was it our last episode? Last week's episode. And for those who do not know what the plot is of A Wish in the Dark, for those of you who don't know the plot of A Wish in the Dark, it's a Thai-inspired fantasy retelling of Les Miserables. So it's a middle grade novel, and it's really, really great. And we had a great conversation with Christina, so check out that episode.
Yeah. My pick for this one is The Ghost Bride by Yang Zichu, which I admit might be a little bit of a stretch because the case I'm building is that this is basically an Asian version of Dante's Inferno, even though it has nothing to do or is even an adaptation of Dante's Inferno. It's our own thing, but I really couldn't think of anything else. So this is what I'm going with.
Day 18 of our challenge, mystery/thriller by an Asian author.
Yeah, for this one, I went with Naomi Hirahara's Mas Arai series, starting with The Summer of the Big Bocce, which was another one of our book club picks from last year, about a Japanese-American gardener and like Hiroshima survivor who lives in Altadena, California, and solves mysteries around town. And I really love it because, A, the detective is a cranky old dude, which is really, you know, you're used to all these like gentleman detectives who are like witty. And Mas Arai is like a dude who just like could not be bothered. Right. He's like the most reluctant, I'm too old for this shit type of guy, but he's also a really great investigator. So it's really cool to have that as the main detective of the story, and also to have the mysteries take place around LA, especially in the first book when it's like LA, Pasadena, San Gabriel Valley, which is where I grew up.
And also Little Tokyo, which is where our studio is located.
Yeah, like all these places that I'm familiar with in book form. It's like representation overdrive. It's awesome.
My pick was Your House Will Pay by Steph Cha. It's actually based on a true case. It's based on the 1991 murder of Latasha Harlins. Latasha was a 15-year-old who was shot by a Korean convenience store owner. And it happened right around the time of like the police beating of Rodney King. So it's a book that pretty much explores the racial tensions between the Korean-American community and the Black community. And I think it goes, I think it starts in the 90s and then it jumps to like present day. I haven't read this book yet, but I just bought it, so I'm probably going to read it very, very soon. And Steph Cha is actually a local author, so she lives in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
So a lot of her books have like very familiar landmarks, just like Naomi Hirahara.
Yeah, and this is another kind of major event that happened in LA history that, like, I feel like the full story hasn't been told, especially from a Asian Black perspective. Day 19, Southeast Asian main character. What did you have for this one?
I picked The Best We Could Do by T. Bui. We had T. Bui early on our show. I think we interviewed her in like episode 11. So very, very early on. And it's a graphic memoir about her family's escape from South Vietnam during the war, all the way to their relocation in San Francisco. And it's pretty much about like displacement and how do you like rebuild your life after like something that was so traumatic. Yeah. And apparently like a lot of people really like the book as well, because we've been getting a lot of positive reviews on our Books and Boba Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, there's more and more stories these days about the refugee experience, especially Vietnamese and Southeast Asian refugees, stemming from the conflicts in Southeast Asia in the 70s. And I think what Best We Can Do does really well is tell these stories in a way that's very accessible, right? You learn about things like not only war trauma, but generational trauma and refugee trauma, and what that does to families and their sense of stability. It's a perfect book to give to someone to like get them into graphic novels as a storytelling device, because it does its job really, really well.
Yeah. And like, you know, graphic memoirs, like that's a relatively new genre, I think. And we've been seeing it with a lot of like Asian and Asian American authors. So it's really awesome to see that.
Yeah.
In literature.
Yeah. My pick was Dog Eaters by Jessica Hagedorn. It's a book that I first read in Asian American lit class back at back in university. It's an older book. I think it was published in, I want to say, the early 2000s. It's a historical fiction book. It's a multiple perspective story about life in the Philippines during the Marcos dictatorship. And reading it in a class where you were forced, right, to read critically, it was the first time I was confronted with the ideas of like American imperialism, especially cultural imperialism in like developing countries in Southeast Asia, where essentially the US was a colonizing power, not only politically, but also culturally during this time. Like the US was like trying to export American values, you know, capitalism, consumerism to the entire world in the effort to combat, you know, the rising communist regimes in Europe and Asia, and how America kind of exported our own class divides to these countries as well. So it's not an easy book to read. There's a lot of perspectives and the book does jump around into a lot of characters, but it's definitely a book that helps you understand like the effects of Western influence in Asia during this time.
So day 20 of our Asian Books Challenge was a middle grade novel by an Asian author. My pick was Stand Up Yumi Chang by Jessica Kim, who mm-hmm. we also had on the show. We had a lovely conversation about the Korean-American experience, and I shared some of my Korean dad jokes. It was the highlight of the show. I'm kidding. But for those of you who don't know the plot, it's about a 11-year-old Korean-American kid who wants to become a comedian. But her immigrant parents, they are, you know, they're kind of like, well, you need to like be good at school in order to hobby. Like ensure your future. Yeah, it's a hobby. And pretty much what happens is she stumbles across this comedy camp that is hosted by her favorite YouTube comedian. And they mistake her as a camper. And she pretty much like accidentally steals someone's identity. So it's a really fun book. I recommend you guys listening to our conversation with Jessica Kim.
Yeah. My book pick is also with an author that we interviewed. It's the Peace Sprout Chen series. It's a middle grade fantasy series about a young girl named Peace Sprout Chen who enrolls in an elite academy for kung fu ice skating, which sounds pretty awesome. I actually gifted the first book to one of my nieces because I love the premise so much. I haven't checked in on her to see if she's actually read it, but we had a really great conversation with Henry, the author, and he's a cool dude. And it's I know, Rira, you were really you read both of these books already, right?
Yes, longtime listeners of the show know my obsession with figure skating. So it was a book that I really enjoyed. It's really fun. And if you have a kid, I'm pretty sure they'll enjoy it too. So
yeah. All right. Day 21, story about Asian refugees. So for this one, I actually picked, I haven't listed it on my profile yet. I haven't posted it yet, but my pick was also The Best We Could Do by T. Bui. I felt like this was a good place to put that book because it's all about the refugee experience for reasons we have already covered. Rira, how about you?
Yeah, I recommended two books. The first one I recommended was Exit West by Mohsen Hamid. This is a book that we previously read for book club. And it's a universal story about refugees and displacement. It's not just Asian refugees, which I really liked about the book. And it's a magical realism book where refugees are able to flee their countries through magical doors. So magical doors, magical portals, it's an element of fantasy that I really like. So I really enjoyed this book. It's also very short for those who want a lighter read, although the subject is pretty dark. So fair warning. The second book that I recommended was The Refugees by Viet Thanh Nguyen. I picked it because it had, like, the title is Refugees. How can I not pick it? Viet Thanh Nguyen is a Pulitzer Prize winning author. His novel, we've read his novel for a book club. His novel was The Sympathizer. And The Refugees is a short story collection. So there's 8 stories in it, and it pretty much explores identity, sexuality, love, and loss from a Vietnamese refugee perspective. So highly recommend you read Viet Thanh Nguyen's novel as well as his short story collection.
Yeah.
So day 22 of our Asian Books Challenge was Asian Muslim main character. I picked a previous book club pick, and that was Home Fire by Kamila Shamsi. And the book is a modern day retelling of the Greek tragedy Antigone. And it's set in London, where tensions are very high with Islamophobic sentiments. And the book follows 2 South Asian British families that are caught in this insurmountable gap between love and nationalism. So in the episode where we discuss this book, we talk about what it means to be loyal to your family, what it means to be loyal to your country when you're considered an enemy of the state. So we discussed Home Fire in episode 87 of our show. So if you're interested in listening to that, go do so.
Yeah, my book pick is also a past, actually a very recent book club pick. It's The Map of Salt and Stars by Zane Jokhadar. It's also another book about refugees. It's set during the Syrian refugee crisis of the past decade, and also 800 years ago, during like the Crusades. And it's another kind of historical fiction and magical realism book similar to Exit West, but centers on the experiences of a young girl. I think she's like 12 years old, and her journey with her family to escape Syria during the uprisings that led to the civil war. Also, not the most lightest read. There's a lot of terrible stuff that happens to this family, but it's also as far as I can see, an accurate portrayal of being a refugee through the eyes of a child, which is something that a lot of people, you know, when people think about refugees, they think about like the teams of people trying to like enter a country or seek safety. But, you know, sometimes you don't realize that these large groups of people all include individuals with their own wants, desires, needs, and importance, right? So for those of you who haven't read it yet, who haven't listened to our discussion yet, definitely check it out, because I think it's worth reading to gain some empathy towards, you know, towards refugees.
Yeah, definitely. So we're all caught up with our Asian Books Challenge. We only have 1 more week left.
Yeah. And I think we're going to split next week's episodes up into 2 episodes, one to wrap up the Asian Books Challenge and one to discuss our May 2020 book club pick, which again is The Woman Warrior by Maxine Hong Kingston, a Asian American literary classic.
Yeah, I have not started yet, so I will have to hurry up and finish it.
Yeah, looking forward to discussing that book with you at the end of the month. And for everyone else, thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Books and Boba. Hope you are keeping safe during the lockdown and reading some good books.
Yeah, now is a great time to read, especially with social distancing. So definitely check out some of the recommendations that we listed on our episode, and also check out the hashtag to see what other people are recommending.
And most bookstores right now are open for curbside pickup. So if you want to pick up a book, now's the time.
All right, and that's a wrap on our episode, and we will see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This podcast was hosted by Marvin Yue and Ri Ryu, and edited and produced by Marvin Yue. Follow the book club on Twitter and Instagram by going to @booksandboba, and engage with us on Goodreads on our Goodreads group. You can also check out past episodes of the podcast by going to booksandboba.com and by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian diaspora. Learn more about the collective and check out our fellow Potluck shows by visiting the website podcastpotluck.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I'm Bill Yu, and you may know me from a blog called Angry Asian Man.
And I'm Jeff Yang, author, journalist, and celebrity dad.
We host a podcast called They Call Us Bruce, an unfiltered conversation about what's happening in Asian America.
Each week or so, we host a discussion about some of the most vital and interesting topics in our pop culture and our community, bringing in guests who are shaping and informing this thing called Asian America from Hollywood to D.C. and beyond.
We've got media, entertainment, food, family, politics, representation.
The good, the bad, the WTF of it all.
So check us out wherever you get your podcasts or at theycallsbruce.com.
Peace.
Peace.